What a beautiful opportunity, God, to sing theology that's sound. And that is our living hope. Jesus, you came. And Jesus, you walked on this earth. You empathize with us. And yet you were without sin and were able to be the lamb that was slain. And you were buried, killed and buried, conquered death. And you rose from that grave and you ascended to your Father. And there you are in your glory today, God, a lamb that looks as if he's been slain and who waits for his Father to say, go and keep your promise to your people. And he comes to redeem us for eternity. Oh, wow. You are truly holy beyond our understanding and comprehension. Yet you call us to be close to you. Wow. Oh, God. Words just this morning have been good, but yet just not enough, God, from our hearts to sort of say what we deeply feel. We owe you everything. We give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory because you deserve it and you are worth of it. Oh, Jesus, holy and awesome, mighty, amazing is your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, God is good. Why don't you just say that name out loud, verbally? Just say the name Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there's something. Something about that name. The name above every name. The name that we will all bow to, we'll all confess that he is Lord, so that the Father is glorified. Wow. Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Are you looking forward to that day when time really won't matter anymore? You won't be checking our phones and our clocks because we'll just be settling into eternal life with Jesus face to face. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That one day we will see him. Wow. God is amazing. So amazing. Well, we've sung a lot about the message. Today I conclude my series on Sunday school stories. And today's title is The Great Escapes, plural. And that's just exactly what you and I have been singing about this morning, The Great Escapes. And the first one is found in John chapter 11. And if you have your Bible, I know you do, whether it's digital or hard copy, or sitting at home, you know, where it's not accessible. But there are copies over here if you need a Bible. John 11, you can read the story at the beginning of the chapter. And you know, Jesus is hanging out like he does and doing his thing, and he's teaching, ministering to people, you know, declaring the kingdom of God. And some guys come to him as messengers from Bethany, and they basically, they're saying that Lazarus, his friend, is sick. And so Jesus, in the dialogue of it all, doesn't, like, he takes the news, but he doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't rush off to, you know, take care of Lazarus who's sick. And the Bible says in that passage there, Jesus tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And, you know, basically Jesus, you know, the disciples are thinking at this point, well, that's good, right? If he's sick, how many of you, when you're sick, you want to be in bed? You know, recovering and feeling better and, you know, taking your, you know, your chicken noodle soup and your, you know, your, if it's your, you have a mother around, your mother's consoling you, making you feel better than you feel. And all of that's taking place, but Jesus is telling them he's fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of the sleep. Disciples say to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he's going to recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So what's important to remember here is that Jesus has, he's basically delayed going. So Lazarus was indeed sick, but Jesus delays, and so while he's delaying, Lazarus dies. So you'd think there'd be a little bit more concern and care for his friend, right? Because he's been healing the sick all along. But Jesus is doing something greater here. He's doing something amazing, and he wants them to learn something pretty powerful by his delay of not going. And the next verse says, so when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, you might pass that over. So Lazarus has died. He's been put in the tomb. The stone's been put there over the cover. And we'd pass over that thinking, okay, 4 days. But it's important to know a couple of things. One is that the rabbis would teach as early as the 3rd century. We don't know back to this particular day, but as far as the 3rd century, they were teaching the people that death was final after 3 days. So if death occurred after about 3 days, then you could officially say that death had occurred. So there's one thing you need to know about that. The other thing is this. There was a Jewish belief that the soul of the departed hovered around the body for 3 days, hoping to return. But when decomposition set in, then it would leave. So that's the thought behind some of this characteristic, so that Jesus knows he's been in the grave for 4 days. So there's no dispute at this point with anybody that regarding tradition or teaching that Lazarus is dead. And that's the importance of knowing the fact that we're being given here in this context. And Martha meets Jesus when she hears he's come, and she says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. A powerful faith statement, isn't that? That she says to him. And Jesus says to her, your brother's going to rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is one of the most powerful things Jesus ever said on the earth. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's setting up the fact of something powerful and great to illustrate that one day he too will rise again from the dead. And Jesus, after another encounter with Mary, goes to the tomb, and he's deeply moved when he comes to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus says to everybody, remove the stone. And you know the comments, you know, well, the body's been in there for 4 days, it's going to smell. You know, if you left some open meat in your garbage in the kitchen, you know, for a few days, not very pleasant after a while, is it? And so they're saying, like, why would we take the stone away? Because, you know, it's going to smell in there. Now, this was a common, fairly common burial place that we find Lazarus in. It's sort of a tomb or etched in a cave or a rock with a stone in front of it. And normally when you took the stone or the lid away, and there would be a hallway that would go into a main chamber. And for the first year, a body would be laid inside the chamber of that main hall to decompose. And what would happen is after that year, the bones that were left were placed in small stone boxes, and they were put into shelves cut into the walls. And caves usually of this type were located outside of the village because if you know the law at all, they weren't allowed to touch dead bodies and there was ceremonial stuff you have to do to get the body prepared. But they were always outside so there'd be no danger of it. So when they finally, they gave in, they removed the stone and here is Jesus with this crowd around that are mourners and gathers and family and Jesus declares to the opening, you know, at this point, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus takes a stroll out of the tomb as if he had been asleep. And he walks out and he says, Jesus says, you know, take away the coverings, his face wrapped cloth and all that, you know, uncloth him and let him go. Because, you know, it'd be like mass today, right? Except a lot more extensive and, you know, sputtering and trying to breathe. And so here's this amazing thing, this spectacular miracle that John only records. And this amazing thing that the person who's dead comes to life. And you remember what Jesus said so that you would know the glory of God. Jesus was at work and he wanted his disciples to realize that death could be defeated because one day he too would raise from the dead. You sang about it. Isn't God great? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Little side note, if one of us was to die here today, I wonder how many of us would want the others to resurrect them. You know, we might want to stay with Jesus, in given the circumstances of life. This spectacular miracle. You know, let's fast forward. You know, Jesus lives on this earth. He does all this amazing stuff. And one day he's before the authorities and he's being imprisoned in a sense. And he goes through all that turmoil of the accusing and the falsehoods and the beating and the whips in the back and the stripes and his body torn apart and ultimately hung on a cross, a cruel death, one of the cruelest death recorded. And here he is hanging on that cross and he's buried and he too is put in a tomb. What would the disciples have felt, eh? It's scattered at one point as you read the story, read the account. They scatter. You know, what they thought would happen didn't happen, and there would have been a lot of fear and just sorrow over it all. But what had Jesus shown them? What had Jesus told them through his journey with them? He said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And if you believe in me, you won't die. And if you believe and live, you'll never die. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus himself, in Luke 24, we hear these words, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they prepared. And they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling cloth. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. How would you like to be one of those women? Ladies, you've come and Jesus' body's gone. And then these angels come to you and tell you this amazing statement. And they said, remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Oh, we serve a risen Savior. Our God's not dead. He is alive. 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 I can feel him all over me. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him. And I will forget all the words. Good old Sunday school song. God's not dead. He's alive. 2 Timothy 1:10, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Jesus came out of the tomb, eventually he appeared to all the disciples and all the followers at that point. Revelation 1:17 and 18, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Do you remember what Martha. Jesus asked Martha, do you believe? Folks, do we believe that Jesus has conquered death and he has the keys of death and our eternity and he has given us freedom and life eternal? Do we believe that? Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen, Jesus. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, what was Jesus teaching them when Lazarus came out of the tomb is that Jesus would raise and come out of the tomb. And what was he trying to tell you and me? That we too will come out of the tomb and we will live forevermore because he is alive. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave us his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. Sin entered us all. We all were separated from eternal life from God, having a relationship with his Father. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he bridged the gap that stood between us and the Father. And he laid his life down and was buried and conquered death and rose again so that you and I could have relationship with the Father for eternity. The Bible tells us that each of us must answer that question, whether we'll believe that. If we will actually believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh when he came and he conquered death, rose from the grave, and holds our eternity in his life, in his hands. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Romans 10:9, and this is important. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And finally, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your doing, it's the gift of God. There's nothing we can do to get eternal life except believe in Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of salvation. By grace we have been saved, and it's a step of faith in each of us. We have to step out in faith and believe by faith. Here's two great escapes. Simply put today, there's not a lot to add to it. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus brought him out. Jesus came out of the tomb. Two great escapes. Jesus is the architect of both. And Jesus is the architect of your salvation and your eternal life. And you too can have, if you have not already taken it, a great escape. Death can no longer hold you. Your sin will no longer be bound to you. You will be free. The chains will be broken. We sang it at the beginning of the service. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. No longer bound. We are free. We're out of the grave of sin and death, out of its clutches. And we have life because Jesus is the resurrection and he is the life. If you have not already, whether in the building here today or online, will you accept the great escape for your sin and your separation from the Father? And would you accept by faith today the grace that is given you through Jesus' death, his resurrection? And right now he's in heaven and the angels of heaven are cheering you on, saying, believe. Take a step of faith. Take a leap of faith. Trust God, because there's nothing else you can trust in this life. No one to turn to except a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. God, thank you so much. Again, just beautiful songs today, God. And your word is always beautiful. And Holy Spirit, this is the word that you've been given to bring light in our hearts and in our minds, understanding of who God is. And so the story from Sunday school about the great escapes today, Lazarus, Jesus's, and ours, would you just bring that home to us and give us understanding? If you're in the room today and you are online and you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never taken this step of faith, it's very simple. You just say to God, I don't understand it all, but I want to take a step of faith today and I'm asking you to forgive my sin. And would you lead my life now to know and understand and experience relationship with you? Just pray that prayer. Just simply call out to God. And if you are a person who has done that and you are saved and you are a person of faith, would you be encouraged today by the resurrected King? Would you be encouraged and would you be filled with God's joy and peace and his power today? That we would live resurrected lives ourselves. Because we might face physical death or face it, but at the end of the day, we're not going to die. We can live for eternity. And Holy Spirit, help us with strength to live that kind of life. And we give Jesus all the honor today and all the glory. And Jesus, we recognize that you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you so much. We're going to pause today with communion. Take the wafer and the cup together. The Bible says that we should examine ourselves before we take and just reflect on the songs you've sung today, the words of praise you've given, the word of God as it's been given to you. And as it is written. And just examine your heart before God and let God just sort of speak into your life and encourage you. We're just going to sing a song of reflection and then I'll take us through communion together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a name. What a name. You know, Jesus suffered for you. Laid his life down, took your place. Punishment that we deserved. It was our sin. My sin, your sin. Every stripe of that whip. You were the glory that was set before him and causing him to endure, despise the shame of it. It was you. Why did he do it? Because he loves you. You don't have to look around. He loves you. He loves you a lot. He's your hope. And even today, you know, years removed from the cross, he cheers you on. And he wants you to know his power at work in your life. And it's one of the reasons why the wafer is a good symbol that reminds us of Jesus' suffering and dying and the pain that he went through to give us everything. Let's take that wafer today and let's partake together as a body of Christ and let's give God thanks for what he did and endured for us. For us. Let's worship him as we take it together. Praise your name. Praise your name. You know, the blood cleanses us from all sin, the symbol that we take the juice. You know, we sang a line there in that song there, the King is in the room. If you are carrying a burden today, or you're physically needing a touch from God, maybe it's relationship oriented, maybe it's provisional, you know, there's all sorts of things. We're all individuals and we all have challenges and needs in our life and we need a touch from God in many ways. But just before we take the reminder of the forgiveness of sin and the life it gives us eternal, let's remember that Jesus suffered and died for our physical healing too. And for the needs in our life, so we'd have a relationship with Him and we wouldn't have to walk alone. So God, if there's anybody again here today and online that needs a touch from You, God, just before we celebrate the wonder of Your blood that was shed, God, would You provide even now? And that as we sung, that miracles would take place across this room and across all the houses and living rooms represented online. Thank You, God. We receive Your touch, Your provision, Your healing, God, Your blessing today. Thank You for life, abundant life, and for the hope that we live by. Oh, this cup reminds us that there's no shame or condemnation in Christ. That we start new every time, every day. So let's worship and honor God and remember His shed blood and the victory it gives and the freedom it affords. And let's take it together in victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Praise Your name. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You so much, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, God. Thank You for Your body. Thank You for the blood. Thank You for the life that we have. Thank You for the great escape, God. Oh, praise Your name. Praise Your name. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Let's praise the Lord. If you can stand, would you stand with me? And let's give God a song of praise. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Praise You, Jesus.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm excited. Hope you're excited, because that's... you know what? Our Redeemer lives, but life can still be challenging. So this week, I just encourage you to, like, reach out to someone and just connect. Don't wait until Sunday. Just, like, pick up the phone, text someone, find them on Facebook, hunt them down in person. I don't care how you do it. Just reach out and encourage one another and pray with one another, because our Redeemer lives, and we're in it together. So be blessed. Amen.